It's time for Wisconsin Life. 4 years ago, the nonprofit Wild Instincts Rehabilitation Center near Rhinelander opened their doors to treat sick, injured, and orphaned wildlife. Nancy Camden was there last fall, shortly before 15 orphaned bears were released back into the wild.
You can see a few of the bears over there that are moving around in the cage. We'll just basically put the food in, then we'll back off.
With our altering our environment, we've done some very bad things to the animals. A lot of it is human caused, so since we broke it, we should try to fix it. My name is Mark Naniot, and my wife and I founded Wild Instincts. I have a bachelor's degree in biology. I've been doing wildlife rehab professionally for over 25 years. They were orphan cubs. We had two mothers that were illegally shot, two that were hit by cars. We had one mother, unfortunately, climb up a utility pole and got electrocuted, so we ended up with 15 this year. We had 1 year where we released five in one group. They all had radio collars on. One denned up about 80 yards from the release site, and another one went 120 miles in 10 days. Every day you never know what's going to happen, what new animals are going to come in, what animals are going to need critical care. And the good part is it's only 7 days a week, so it's not so bad. During the peak of the summer, I think at one point we had over 140. In an average year, we usually deal with pretty close to 100 different species. We're pretty much the only center in the state that does every animal that's allowed to by state and federal regulation, from hummingbirds to eagles and mice to bears and everything in between. We do have volunteers. Matter of fact, I'm a volunteer. We have no paid staff at Wild Instincts. The closest is our interns. They get paid a stipend of $75 a week.
I'm Tawny Leiby, and I'm the fall intern. Preparing some food for our isolation eagle in there, so we have bullheads and venison that we give them.
We're very big on nutrition. We don't feed any processed food at all to the animals. We want to make sure their diet is very good and nutritious and as natural as we can get. Our goal is to keep the animals as wild as possible, very minimum contact. The bald eagle, we did have to initially do subcutaneous injections. We started out with tube feeding and then eventually got to the point where we could tweezer feed it. Now it just started eating on its own. What's that?
Got lice in your head?
Yeah, I got a little bird lice today.
You have to excuse us if we seem like we're a little tired because we had a loon that had a fish hook, so we went out on the lake last night to try to capture it. So we had about 3 hours of sleep last night. We see a lot of cases of lead poisoning with loons and eagles. Oftentimes they pick up this lead shot. It's highly, highly toxic. So when they start getting sick, of course, they're easy prey for an eagle. We have 9 eagles outside in our flight cage right now. Good morning, Wild Instincts. And is it someplace I can just walk right up to, or... All right, Tawny, you ready to go rescue a beaver? She can be happy it doesn't smell like skunk in here anymore. A call from the sheriff's department a few weeks back and had a skunk with a peanut butter jar stuck on his head.
I'm looking for a beaver.
I happen to have one.
Well, that's perfect.
There can be a lot of heartbreak. It's a lot of animals that come in really rough shape and they're too badly damaged or injured or diseased and you can't fix it. The national average is about a 50% success rate.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org.
Joining us now to talk more about animal rescue in Wisconsin is Gail Viney. She's Public Relations Coordinator for the Dane County Humane Society. The society operates the Four Lakes Wildlife Center. Gail, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So suppose just an everyday person, say me, is out there, encounters obviously injured or ill wildlife of some sort. What do we do?
Well, the most important thing and what we're trying to really help people be aware of is that we want to help give you advice. And a lot of times well-intentioned community members see an orphaned or injured wild animal and they think, okay, I need to help this animal. I need to take it right away and take it somewhere. More often than not, it's actually best to leave that animal where it is. Maybe the mother has just gone off to get food for the animal or there's something going on. So what we want you to do is call our center first so that we can help give you some instruction on what the situation really needs for your help. And maybe that is having you safely capture the wild animal and bring them to us, but it might be leaving them there too.
So if there is an animal, maybe we check back and see, yes, it's wounded and it's still in this position and hasn't been moved by a parent.
Mm-hmm.
do you come out and sort of, so to speak, make house calls and scoop up and get the animal?
Right. We definitely can see if that's what's needed. More often than not, if it's a smaller animal and you feel that you can safely capture the animal, we definitely recommend wearing gloves. Sometimes even being able to use a laundry basket tipped over, you can help kind of confine the animal and safely bring it in. But if you don't feel that that is appropriate, if it is a larger raptor or an owl, something that's injured and you're worried about your safety and the animal's safety, then we really suggest you call us. And we have very experienced volunteers that will come out and either help rescue the animal. Also, we work very closely with the animal control officers. That's a city function, so not part of the Humane Society, but we work closely with them and they will help come out and get the animal and bring them to us as well.
You know, are there certain animals where it, just the general guideline is don't try to make contact with it? It's just not safe?
Well, definitely if it is very injured, if it looks like it has some sort of a disease or illness, you want to really be cautious and not put yourself in danger. So again, that would be a great time to call us, explain what you're seeing, explain the behaviors of that animal, and we can help give you the correct next steps to make sure that you try and help the animal and also keep yourself safe.
Is this something that we can do on our own with a little guidance from you? I can remember my mom trying to put a toothpick splint on a mouse's leg before. I don't think it worked out very well, but in some cases, can you do that?
You know, I think that's where we have very great and experienced wildlife rehabilitators in this program that can help give you some advice if it's something you can do. I think more often than not, it's probably best to let an experienced wildlife person handle the animal, but what we really do need help with is people that can help be foster parents for sometimes baby squirrels that need to go somewhere and just be able to grow up a little bit more, or young baby bunnies or things like that. So sometimes there are ways that you can still help at home and make a difference on that wild animal's life. We're actually doing a seminar too on how you can grow mealworms and redworms. It sounds weird, but we need those animals, we need those little critters to help feed our birds and wildlife. And so that's something that you can easily do in your basement or just as a way to help the Wildlife Center. And we're doing a seminar this Saturday, February 7th at the Humane Society for that.
And we heard in that Wisconsin Life piece, that was in Rhinelander, mm-hmm. and they had a problem with lead poisoning for some birds, some larger birds, raptors, I think, up there. Is that something you see down here as well?
Yes.
In Dane County?
Ironically, we've seen a large influx of animals come in just in the beginning of this year. Typically, we see 2 to 3 instances of lead poisoning from animals, most often the larger raptors or eagles. And just the start of this year, we've already had 3 bald eagles come in with lead poisoning, 3 tundra swans, and 2 geese. So it's definitely something that we are very much aware of, and we're trying to get the word out there, talk about it, that really the importance of non-toxic ammunition could really make a big difference in helping these animals not come in with the lead poisoning issues.
Can you give us some examples, besides some of the raptors and things you just mentioned, of the animals that you have helped over the years, maybe right now?
Yeah, it's amazing. This wildlife program has been incredible. It started in 2002, and the numbers have continued to grow, I think, when people learn about our services. But we've seen everything from eagles, swans, we've had fox, possum, badgers, pelicans, snowy eagles, snowy owls, excuse me. Everything even smaller, too. We have a lot of smaller turtles that come in from being hit when they're crossing the road. And even right now, we're currently caring for a couple salamanders. We have a least weasel, which is one of, I think, the smallest mammal. There's something unique about the least weasel, but it's a very teeny little thing that we're helping. So it's from big to small. We've seen so many different animals.
Can people from the public come in and get training and volunteer to help with this effort?
Yes, absolutely. This program is almost 100% volunteer run. So we really do need the support of the community. And we're constantly doing new training sessions. We get very busy in the spring and summer. That's when our numbers really we have an influx of animals. So that would be the best time for people to start coming out within maybe the months of March and learning so that you're ready to help the influx of animals. But absolutely, we could not run without our volunteers, so we appreciate anyone that's interested.
Obviously, it's got to be really rewarding when you nurse an animal back to health and you get to release it back into the wild again. Do you have any stories of recently released animals who've made it?
It was, well, we had a really amazing red-tailed hawk that came in with an injured wing. And with just the time spent with us and the rehab we were able to do, we work really hard to release the animal back to where they were found. We want to make sure that they go back into their natural habitat. If they maybe had a mate or family, we want to try and help reunite those animals. So it's always neat to be able to be a part of that release. And a lot of times some of the wildlife volunteers get to go out and actually be there to help release the animals. And it's a really unique part of being a volunteer.
You say peak season is a little later in the year. How many animals might you have in various stages of rehabilitation at one time?
Well, in a year, we see about 3,000 wild animals come through our doors. So we definitely are starting to see many. I think just from the start of the new year, we've already seen 400, 500 animals. So we're on track to continue to see that high number of 3,000.
Well, Gail, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, and thank you for all you do.
We've been speaking with Gail Viney, Public Relations Coordinator for the Dane County Humane Society.